How are we going to pay the rent? Every single month, I knew at a very young age, and I had so much anxiety, I thought nobody had rent money. And she would say to me, do you feel anxious? And I said, well, what does that feel like? And she would say, in your body, do you feel this? And she would walk me through feelings or anger, rage. But eventually, it turns out, I have a lot of rage. So she taught me how to feel that then. And you would say, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a business owner.
I wasn't making any money.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I was speaking like if it was happening. I own a business, I'm a coach, and I'm a speaker.
So yeah. It's like fake it till you make it?
So I would say believe it till you make it. Affirm it till you make it. Yeah, because the truth is, I wasn't fake. I was a speaker, but I was just speaking to my cousin. Yeah. I just wasn't speaking on these big stages yet. Mm. But I knew one day I would.
Hej och välkommen till Hälsorevolutionen. När livet är som tuffast, när vinden blåser hårt och vi är tyngda av problem på alla fronter, hur kan vi orka resa oss då?
Ja, det ska vi undersöka idag med poddens egen manifestationscoach Maria Concha, Manifesting Ninja från New York, som är på besök. Idag är hon en framgångsrik coach med stabilt förhållande och en bostad hon älskar, god ekonomi, men så har det inte alltid varit i hennes liv.
Nej, tvärtom. Det här är en kvinna som kommer ur getton utanför New York. Föräldrar som var illegala migranter, pappan satt i fängelse, det var droghandel och mamman levde med tung depression. Det var fattigt, hårt och Maria hade svårt att ens våga börja leta efter ett annat liv. Och nu är allt omvänt. Vad hjälpte henne? Vilka tekniker och metoder? Vi möter ninjan snart. Och idag är alltså temat att resa sig när livet är som tuffast. Jag heter Maria Borelius, vetenskapsjournalist och författare. Och sitter här i studion med
Carina Nundstedt, producent, förläggare och författare. Ja, det här det griper tag direkt, känner jag. Det här
och alla
temat.
Kan vi känna igen oss. Ja. Livets bottenpunkter när det känns mörkt, svart, ingen väg ut. Mm. Vi är trötta liksom in i märgen och får nypa oss i huden. Händer det här mig? Ja. Varför mig? Varför nu? Och så vidare. Så vi tyckte att det var väldigt spännande att ni skulle få möta Maria som verkligen inte bara liksom predikar det här för andra utan själv har gjort resan. Mm. Som Obama säger, be the change you want to see. Hon har levt det här innan
verkligen.
Hon började tala om det.
Och sen kommer vi ge er ett helt nyårspaket, en nyårsserie.
Mm. En nyårsgodis.
Nyårsgodis. I flera delar tillsammans med Manifesting Ninja. Men det återkommer vi till. Men håll utkik efter det när året börjar ta slut. Mm.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Den här veckan så fortsätter vi vårt roliga sponsrade samarbete med Skinome, färsk hudvård. Produkter helt utan konserveringsmedel och andra onödiga tillsatser. Det här är ett svenskt hudvårdsföretag grundat av hudforskaren Dr. Johanna Gillbro. Och idag ska vi fortsätta prata om Skinomes innovativa solskyddsprodukter, eller hur Maria?
Ja, vi gillar ju båda att njuta av solen, liksom de flesta svenskarna. Solen är ju inte bara en källa till glädje och värme och ljus. Den är ju också vår främsta naturliga källa till D-vitamin, och det mår vi ju bra av. Och som alla vet kan för mycket solexponering medföra risker på grund av solens ultravioletta strålar, det vi kallar UV-strålning. Vi vet hur viktigt det är att skydda huden på bästa sätt. Och både Carina och jag har börjat använda Skinomes solskydd Sun Emulsion.
Ja, vår sponsor Skinome erbjuder två solskydd med olika solskyddsfaktor. Dels Sun Emulsion SPF 50+, och så den senaste nyheten Sun Emulsion SPF 30. Och båda de här ansiktsprodukterna går att använda som enda dagkräm om man vill, då de också innehåller både vårdande och återfuktande ingredienser samt prebiotika som stärker ditt mikrobiom.
Tänk på att applicera rikligt med solkräm just i ansiktet. Förutom att stärka skyddet mot cancer så kan du också minska risken för UV-inducerade ålderstecken. Och då talar vi om rynkor, pigmentfläckar och brustna blodkärl. Skinomes senaste nyhet, Sun Emulsion Solskyddsfaktor 30, innehåller också en innovativ ingrediens från den svenska västkusten. Vi talar om algika som tillverkas just av alger. Studier visar att algika förstärker den solskyddande effekten av UV-filter och skyddar huden mot miljörelaterade luftföroreningar.
Ja, det här är innovativt. Skinomes solkrämer passar både barn och vuxna, även de med känslig hud. Om du blir osäker på om du ska ha solskyddsfaktor 50 eller 30, så kan du gå in på Skinomes hemsida och göra deras solskyddstest. Just nu så kan du prova Skinomes solskydd och övriga hudvårdsprodukter extra förmånligt. Med koden Hälsorevolutionen 20 så får du 20% rabatt under april månad. Rabatten gäller inte på redan nedsatta varor. Gå in på skinome.com och beställ den nya generationen solskydd.
So, welcome to the studio, Maria Concha from New York.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And you have come for Carina's book launch, which is amazing.
Yes. I didn't believe you when you said that. Yeah, I'm coming together with my cousin Kelly,
yeah,
who's
Kelly's
also
too.
Here in the studio with us. So great to have you here live in person.
Yeah. Why did you want to come to the book launch? Tell us about your feelings.
I often make decisions from my gut and a feeling. And I've worked with Carina, you know, we've worked and I just felt like, I don't know, I just really wanted to support you and be here for that and celebrate and like hug you. And it just felt very like a yes, like a heck yes, like a full body yes.
So I love that.
Oh,
love
thank
that.
You so much.
So you're a star affirmation coach now and have a life that you maybe not even could dream about as a little girl. It was not always this way. So would you tell us a little bit about your childhood? Where did you grow up and how was your home and who was in there?
So I grew up with a single mom, my brother, he's a middle child, and my sister who was the oldest. So I'm the baby. And my dad was in and out of jails till I was about 7. And then he got deported back to Colombia.
Why was he in jail?
He was in jail. Well, we're Colombian, so it's kind of like the stereotypical, you know, story, I guess, unfortunately. But my dad was selling drugs and doing all the things, you know. I didn't see this because I was so young. But I'll tell you, you know, one of the memories that I do remember very clearly was when he got arrested. I was 4. 3 or 4, and he got arrested, and they like set up like a whole squad came and they set him up, and we were walking with my mom, and they arrested him. And
must
I think
it's been very scary.
It was, you know, the little girl in me didn't feel scared. I was being very tough and smiley to the police officer. My mother kind of nudged me, you know. So I think I was at that moment in my time is where I kind of built this tough. Mm. Smiley girl. Mm. But yes, it must have been terrifying.
Mm. And your mother, how did she react to having a husband in prison and being left with 3 small children?
I think my mother, she has three states of being. One is survival mode. Two, it was like depression. And three was, depression and anger. And then three was this like, you know, we're going to celebrate and figure it out. So it's like very different three states, right? And my mother was very much in survival mode. And we never talked about any of it, but she would go visit him in jail. She would take me to go visit him. I was baptized in jail. I didn't know till I was much older. So we used to go visit. So my mother, honestly, she was just in survival mode, trooper. I never saw her cry about my dad being in jail. I also think that this was her way of life. So she must have known at some point that this could happen. And maybe she prepared herself, but she did the best she could. But she struggled mentally so much and emotionally so much.
Yeah. So you had multiple challenges as a child. You had poverty. You had sickness with depression. You had the stigma of a parent who is in prison, which is very tough for a child. So how did you feel about this as a child?
Well, I don't think I was aware of any of this as a child. The thing that I did know was we were different than the other people around us because we didn't have what the other people around us had, like a mom and dad. I don't know how this happened, but we lived in a really nice, on a really nice block, but our home was just, you know, looked very different. I don't know how this happened. My mother took pride in saying that no matter what, she always had us in a good area, living in a good neighborhood. That was her number one pride thing.
Okay. And where was
so
the home?
So I grew up in Queens, New York, and we grew up in Middle Village. And this was a, you know, it's a, you know, working class area, but it was, well, it wasn't the hood. You know, it's like a, I guess you could say it was family oriented kind of place. And we didn't have drug dealers on the block or anything like that. And back then that was like something to take pride in, really, especially for my mom being, you know, a Colombian woman, single mother. So we knew we were different. And I couldn't tell you that I thought of it in the way that you said. I didn't know it like or see it like that in my life. Mm-hmm. I just knew I felt embarrassed a lot.
Mm-hmm. What were you embarrassed about?
The thing that pops to my head that I think is traumatizing, it's a silly thing, but I was so young, is when I would get invited to birthday parties and we wouldn't have a gift. So that's so embarrassing, mm-hmm. you know? And then I got shamed by the mom of this girl, of a young girl. And I went to her birthday party and it was at an ice skating rink. So, you know, the mom must have paid, I don't know, you know, good money to have all the kids in the ice skating rink. And the mom shamed me and she, you know, she just couldn't believe that we didn't have a gift. And she only told me that my mom doesn't speak English, so my mom wouldn't have even known what she said.
Yeah.
But she told me and I just was so embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And just I think just little things like that, you know, you start to notice that you're different and you don't have money. Mm-hmm. And how do you explain that to your friends in school? Mm-hmm. We're poor. Mm-hmm. That's just not something I ever said mm-hmm. or wanted to say. Mm-hmm.
You talk a lot about kind of the thoughts and beliefs we have in ourselves, and we're going to talk about that in a while. But what kind of thoughts and beliefs were prevalent in your childhood home?
Definitely a lack mindset when it comes to money.
So what did that sound like?
The theme of the month, every month, by the way, we had the same theme, was how are we going to pay the rent? Every single month, I knew at a very young age, and I had so much anxiety, because I thought nobody had rent money. I thought that was the norm. And everybody, like, you know, searched at the end of the month to get the, you know, the rent. So I thought this was normal. And every month, my mother, it was the same thing. How are we going to... And somehow she would try and someone would lend her here. She would sell something there. So it was...
A scramble
for money, for the rent. It was very clear to us that it was rent. So it was like this big rent. I knew it was rent. So that was a big thing. It was a really big thing for us, just rent. My mother was on, we grew up on welfare. So we had, it was public assistance, food stamps and all of that. But, you know, you only get so much. So we had the food portioned. And if we asked for food after dinner, you don't do that. You don't ask for food after dinner because that meant we would tap until the next day. But my brother and I, we would sneak in and we would get cheese. And then we'd try to do little things, you know, to eat because we wanted a snack. Who knows if we were even hungry, but we just were kids. You know, you want a little snack. And oh, my gosh. So, these are the things, the lack. We always knew that there was a lack in our home, a lack of money for sure. That was, I think that was the biggest thing. Also, we never talked about anything. So things weren't spoke. Your emotions, you don't talk about your emotions. You certainly don't talk about any serious topics. Right. And when my mother would, like, if there was like arguments with my mother and her boyfriend, you know, we don't talk about that. We just saw it and but we don't talk about it. Or if my brother and I fought, it would always be like a side, you know, you were right, you were wrong, go to your room, but you don't talk about it. So I never talked about it. And I was always seen as the smiley one, the good girl, the good kid. You don't give Maria doesn't give me any problems. So that's how I survived.
You were from a family of illegal migrants to the U.S. That's talked a lot about. So what kind of sensation or feeling that did that create in you? I guess you must be feeling insecure or, you know, when are they going to discover that we shouldn't be here? Things like that.
Yeah. So as a kid, I didn't know. I didn't know a lot, honestly, as a child, because my mom never spoke to me about any of this. So I had no idea. However, when I got older, and I start to, you know, I was in school and I start to learn and all the things. But my mom's attitude is like, ah, we're good. Nothing's going to happen. Very, very like, this is for everything. You know, like your toe could be falling off. Ah, you're okay. You fix it. You're good. Which in a way.
That's an affirmation.
It's, yeah. So I got, listen, you know, I got a lot of good from my mom. I did. I got a lot of positive. You know, there was a lot of trauma. But that was her way of coping and dealing. And so I really thought, oh, okay, we'll be fine. I guess we're going to be good. And so I didn't worry about deportation because she said it was going to be fine. And and her attitude became my attitude. Ah, we're good. So at a very young age. So I didn't worry about that. And then as I got, to be honest, as I got much older, I thought, well, if they deport her, it'll be good. She'll be safe in Colombia and I'll know where she is at all times.
Okay. So,
that's a whole other story. But, but she doesn't want to go back. So she's a rebel. My mother's a rebel. So I didn't struggle with that fear. Honestly, I was just like more embarrassed. Like if I had the story of my parents, illegal immigrants came here and look at the life that they made for themselves. That's not the story I have. You know, my mother.
So what is the story you have?
My mother hid in the shadows of my dad at first, and she really lived for him. So much so that she just, once he left her, my father cheated on my mother so much. And he scarred her so much that when he left, because he was deported, you know, back to Colombia, she was left with nothing. Her identity was gone. He was her identity and her safety and her financial means for everything. She depended on him for every single thing and her pride and joy and the love of her life. And when he left, that was it. So he took that. So she went on to be a very depressed woman. I think she's, a very depressed person, unfortunately. And she ended up meeting, you know, her partner now, who she's been with for a very long time, but who's caused her our relationship. So you can imagine. So, yeah, so I don't have the story. And then my dad has not been in my life for over 30 years, you know, so.
Do you know where he is now?
Yes, I do now. He's in Ecuador. He's in a different country. He has a whole other life. And he did reach out when he saw me on social media and tried to claim this child of his now.
So this is a very tough childhood that you are carrying with you and are working with, I guess, all of the time now. What started the journey out of that? What impulses were you given when you started thinking, actually, my life could be different than this?
Even though I had all those challenges and struggles and my mother was all the things I said, on the same token, my mother has that other side of her, which is a very positive cheerleader side where you can do anything. And as a young kid, I joined ballet, and I was a dancer and a performer. And I really loved the, you know, TV, movies, and being an actress. And so I would perform in my house at a young age. And I bring this up because, and my mother would support me. And it gave me an outlet to be seen. And my mother, so that was the only way my mom saw me when I was younger. And anytime.
When you were on stage, kind of performing for her. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Making her proud. Mm-hmm. And whether it was just for her or for me, it helped me. She made me feel like I'm super talented and I could do anything, to the point where then when I went to high school, I realized I wasn't that talented of a dancer. But that's okay. I was naive and I thought I'm the greatest thing and I could do whatever. Mm. And I thought that was a big blessing. So I think in a way my mom really inspired that in me and kind of lit that up, which is why it was such a complex relationship for me, because there was so much trauma, but also so much goodness, right? So it's like really complex. And so that started my journey. My mother just saying to me at a very young age, whatever you can do whatever you want. You want to do this? Great, do that. You want to be an actress? Go, great. You want to be on TV? Amazing. You want to dance? You're an incredible dancer. And so I believed, she made me believe that I could do anything. So I walked around thinking I could do anything. And that's where it started. That's, you know, I guess the joyful, the positive aspect that I could pull from it. This wasn't my life, but it's the thing that I pulled from my childhood. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went on to really great high school for dancing, performing, theater. But I didn't do the theater part. I did the dancing part. And then from there, I went into college for theater. I minored in psychology and I majored in theater. And this was like the start of me becoming very ambitious and very focused on my career.
So how did you start working with yourself from there and changing around the thoughts and processes which you had been given, changing the cards you had been dealt with?
Yes, I think I had certain role models that made me see things a little differently.
And they were?
And they were people in movies.
Oh, so such as?
Such as there's an actress, American actress named Diane Keaton.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I love her.
And she's in this movie from the 80s called Baby Boom. And it's an incredible movie about this woman who she ends up inheriting a baby, adopting a baby that the mother died, her aunt or long lost someone. But she's this big executive. And I saw her have a baby and leave the corporate world didn't want her after she had a baby, because now she's not working 100 hours a week. And she created her own business and she started her own, she became an entrepreneur. And I remember watching this and thinking, I want to do this. And I was very inspired at a very young age, by this and just by Selena. I don't know if you're familiar with Selena. She's a Mexican-American singer. I was so inspired by her. This is where I would perform and do my Selena stuff. So this is where the mindset starts to shift a bit with the role models that I saw. And then from there, I took things from them. I noticed their hard work. I noticed their, I wouldn't word it this way then, but their mindset, their attitude always seemed very like positive and uplifting and smiley, very much happy. So I started to emulate this behavior and I started to, you know, just go after my dreams and very independent. Jeff will tell you all about that.
Jeff is the boyfriend.
Jeff, yes. And so what I started to do is I was reading at a young age, I was reading a lot of self-development books, and that really sucked me in. And I started to really peel back the layers of what really happened in my life as a child, my trauma. I put myself into therapy at 17 years old. 2 years before that, I had just said it out loud that I was abused, sexually abused, and that was very difficult. So I had a choice to make. What do I do? Do I go down a destructive path as a teenager? Or I thought, do I put myself in therapy? And I put myself in therapy at a young age. And that woman, her name is Fran, she changed my life completely.
So where did the sexual abuse come from?
In my house.
In your home?
Yeah.
Was it your mother's boyfriend?
Yep, indeed. My mother's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, she did not see it or did not want to see it?
Did not want to see it. Does mm-hmm. not want to see it.
Mm. Still.
Still. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So you had an enormous rucksack, we would call it in Sweden, the backpack you had on your.
Yeah.
And Fran comes into your life.
Yes.
And what does Fran help you see in yourself?
The first thing she did was just listen. Just hear me out. I couldn't even say the words. You know, I really couldn't. And she listened to me so, with such beautiful energy, with such acceptance, not making me feel like I was broken, truly. And that changed everything for me. And she saw so much in me. She saw light. And when I went, I'll never forget this. I started going to see her. There were two chairs. There was a little tiny chair, like a small, almost like, felt like a dollhouse chair. And then there was like a big chair with a big back. And I sat in the small one. And at some point, I found out that that's not for people to sit in, but I was so tiny. Mm-hmm. I think I was like 90 pounds. So it didn't matter if I sat. So she didn't say anything to me, but that's where I felt so small. And then years later, maybe 10, 15 years later, I guess I must have switched mm-hmm. from the little chair to the big chair and more expansive. When I came, I felt like I was so fragile. And we worked through so much and she got me to talk about my feelings, the thing I had never done as a child. And I didn't even know how to talk about them. She would say, how does that feel? And I would say to her, can you describe what a feeling, can you give me examples of feelings? This is how we would have to speak. What, like what? And she would say to me, do you feel anxious? And I said, well, what does that feel like? And she would say, in your body, do you feel this? And she would walk me through feelings or anger, rage. I would say, I don't feel that. And, you know, she wouldn't push me to it, but eventually it turns out I have a lot of rage. Mm-hmm. So she taught me how to feel and how to accept the feelings and how to acknowledge them. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much of my coaching ways through her, mm-hmm. funny enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you told her?
No. Oh my God, it's going to make me cry. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Denna vecka har vi ett betalt samarbete med Bosch som precis har kommit ut med sin nya köksmaskin serie 6. Och jag har ju alltid älskat att baka och har tänkt att jag vill baka lite oftare eftersom det gör mig så glad. Och nu har jag hittat ett sätt som gör det både enklare och smidigare.
Vad kul! Och vad ska du baka för något?
Ja, men igår så testade jag att baka bananbröd som jag gillar väldigt mycket eftersom det även är ganska hälsosamt. Jag hade i valnötter och inte så mycket socker som det står i receptet. Och först tänkte jag att det skulle vara krångligt att baka med en bakmaskin. För det har jag aldrig gjort innan. Och jag skulle sätta ihop olika delar, trodde jag. Men så var det inte. Utan jag känner redan att serie 6 är en pålitlig vän i köket. För det var faktiskt väldigt enkelt.
Ja, vi är ju lite lika där, Karina. Tycker ibland att det är jobbigt med för mycket bruksanvisningar av teknisk karaktär. Men den här gången var det kul.
Ja, Bosch serie 6 är en väldigt snygg och cool köksmaskin. Bara en sån sak. Den levereras ihopsatt och det är inte svårt att förstå hur man ska komma igång. Jag håller fortfarande på att utforska alla funktioner och automatiska program. Bland annat så har den smarta sensorer som gör bakningen enklare genom att den känner av när det du bakar har perfekt konsistens. Och därtill så har den en unik 3D-mixning som efterliknar handknådning och fångar upp alla ingredienser så att inget lämnas kvar i botten av skålen, vilket ju kan vara irriterande annars. Ja, jag får återkomma lite närmare till just den funktionen när jag bakar bröd nästa gång. Eller om jag ska baka kanelbullar, det var ju länge sedan.
Jag vet ju, det gillar ju du, det är ju väldigt gott. Och det här med 3D-mixningen låter ju väldigt spännande. Hur ofta funderar man inte på om degen verkligen blir genomarbetad när det står knåda väl i receptet, eller hur?
Ja, precis. Och för mig är det viktigt att det är enkelt att lyckas med bakningen för att jag ska liksom dra igång ett bakprojekt. Och jag tycker att serie 6 gör bakningen ännu mer lustfylld genom att den är så enkel att hantera. Det gäller bara att välja program och sen kan man luta sig tillbaka medan maskinen gör jobbet. Eller varför inte fixa köket medan degen knådas?
Låter perfekt. Bosch nya serie 6 finns att köpa redan nu hos Power. Och där kan man även få mer info om köksmaskinen. Och vi återkommer snart med mer inspiration och berättar hur det går med Karinas vårbakning.
So Fran was a fantastic first coach, helper, yeah. Sister in this. And what other tools did you find on the way?
So from there, I really regained so much strength in my life, you know, to really go after things and to start having a structure and rebuilding this strong foundation to build on, to build a healthy life. She would ask me different questions. So it made me think about what I wanted in my life. And it's the start of clarity, which is what I teach. I didn't have that much clarity at that point in my life. I was in survival mode for most of my life.
Of course.
So clarity, that sounded like a pipe dream, you know? So I wanted stability. All I wanted at the time was this really stability. And so it started with clarity. And then it started with, I started to look into different types of books and an approach of like Tony Robbins, Les Brown, just many different people that had this perspective that resonated with me. I'll never forget the first time I hear, you know, someone speak about possibilities and having this mindset. In my head, I said, that's me. I have this mindset. It came natural to me. And so after reading all the books and after practicing it and trying to tell everybody that I knew, anybody that would listen, God bless my cousin and all my friends, because that's what I did. I just would bore people to death until their ears would bleed about coaching. You know, this is what you could do with your life. And slowly I started to just preach it to whomever would listen and practice it. And my life started to change.
What started to happen?
I started to gain massive clarity about the direction that I wanted to take my life. And then I also started to gain confidence to follow through with it. Can you believe that? And then it allowed me to take the action that I needed.
Can you give a practical example?
Sure. I wanted to be an actress and I ended up pursuing acting, which meant that I had to go take all these pictures and be very, you know, the center of attention. And then I had to go and I had to get an agent and a manager. And so what that looked like in New York, where I lived, is I was in Queens. I had to take trains, which were scary. And again, I was like 90 pounds on these trains. And I looked like I was 10.
90 pounds in Swedish is 50 kilo. Oh. Yeah. Oh.
I look like a 10-year-old.
You're not a giant woman, I would also have to add. Because I am very tall, and you are, how tall are you, Mary?
I'm 5 foot. I'm
1.50. Yeah, 1.50.
Yes.
A beautiful 5 foot.
Yes, a beautiful 5 foot. Yeah, so what it looked like, it's me going and actually finding the auditions, mailing out hundreds and hundreds of pictures in my resume, my portfolio, talking to whoever, getting in the door, learning how to do my makeup, putting myself in the Miss New York USA contest, being a contestant. You know, I was Miss Queens, like, you know, I'm in a pageant. They're very tall. Mm. They look a certain kind of way. I didn't look that way, but I did it. Yeah. I did it. So I did the things because it was as platform, you know, to learn how to speak. I learned how to do my makeup there. So it opened me up to start different careers, and acting was one of them. And I went on to do commercials and movies and different cool things. I don't think you guys knew this about me.
No.
Produce stuff. I'm a writer. All the things that I'm very proud of. And that was one of them. But then the second thing I would say, that another big thing, was starting my businesses. That was scary. You know, I didn't have any capital. I didn't have resources, really. I was never a business owner. I didn't know any business owners.
Your father was a businessman.
My father.
In a way. Yeah, well,
no, 100%. My father was a hustler.
Give him that. Yes.
No, he definitely was. I will give him that. I definitely got my hustling from my dad. So yes, with that being said, my mindset started to shift. And now I started to see all the possibilities and the resources. And I said, well, look at that person. I don't know them, but they did it. If they could do it, why can't I do it? So I had to be scrappy and resourceful. And I did. I was just that. Mm. It was because of my mindset.
And so how did you change your mindset?
I started changing my mindset by really just speaking into existence, speaking the words into existence. So speaking the things and talking about things as if they already happened. So if you would have met me then and you would have said, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a business owner. I wasn't making any money, you know, but I was speaking like if it was happening. I own a business. I'm a coach and I'm a speaker.
So yeah. It's like fake it till you make it.
So I would say believe it till you make it. Affirm it till you make it. Yeah, because the truth is I wasn't fake. I was a speaker, but I was just speaking to my cousin and giving her speeches whenever she would listen or whoever would listen, truth be told. So I was speaking. I just wasn't speaking on these big stages yet, but I knew one day I would. Mm. So it was really much like embody who you want to be. And I will also say the role model was my future self also. Oh. Always. Mm. Always.
Mm. And was this the same time that you worked at this sushi place? You told me that when we met the first time. You said, I worked over here just a few blocks away.
That's so funny. So when I worked at the sushi place, I was still acting. So no, that's a different time. That was a crazy time when I worked. So I had over 25 jobs before the age of 21.
Wow.
Yes. She would get anxiety. My cousin would get anxiety because I would be on the train at all odd hours of the night. Mm-hmm. It's just not safe. When I look back, I just know I had guardian angels looking out after me.
So triple jobs.
Oh my God, yes. Sometimes I would wake up, Kelly and I were roommates. I would wake up in my room and I would not know which job. I would wake up in a sweat, not knowing which job I had to go to. But meanwhile, it was the only day I had off. I didn't have to be anywhere, but I would wake up in like a...
So stressed.
Very stressed.
Yeah.
But I was able to transmute that into the pain into so much purpose through my beliefs and my thoughts and what I affirmed for myself. And I had to keep going.
Told me how you were using your lunch breaks to go and be by yourself and work with your affirmations.
Yes. So I used to work at a doctor's office, a celebrity doctor's office. It was a very stimulating place and I was inspired by so many people. Anyhow, so I used to work at this office and during lunch break, people would go and, you know, do what normal people would do. Go, take their lunch, chit-chat, talk with each other, maybe gossip a little. And I would excuse myself and I would go to the back and I would go to one of the offices and I would do my affirmations. I would meditate and do my affirmations. And I was known as the weirdo of the office, hands down.
You were working on your future.
I was working on my future. Mm. Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes, I was working on my future.
So if any of our listeners is curious about training with you, your finding you on social, where should they look?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram @ManifestingNinja Or you can, they can check out my website, which is manifestingninja.com, www.manifestingninja.com. Mm-hmm. And I do one-on-one coaching, which is what I did with you beautiful ladies, retreats. I have programs and courses and a book in the future.
And you're going to help us to manifest the best 2024.
Yes.
And,
for New Year's.
More on that soon. We will tell you all about it.
So if the Maria we meet today would meet up with a little girl, Maria, whose dad has just been taken away to prison, what would you tell her?
You are just perfect the way you are. Everything is going to be juicier than you could have ever imagined.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
A true inspiration. Ja, det var allt från hälsorevolutionen den här gången, med en berättelse om vår ninja och hennes liv, för att ni ska också få chansen att inse inför nyårsgrejerna att det budskap hon kommer med, det kommer liksom inte från ingenstans, eller hur Carina? Utan det kommer från djup,
vilken fighter, vilken hård
erfarenhet av livet.
Och hur man kan vända livet när förutsättningarna inte alls finns med. Ingenting gratis.
Ingenting gratis. Nej. Så vi önskar dig en fin vecka.
Ja.
Och tackar för oss och tackar för att du lyssnar och är med oss. Och dela gärna med dig av tankar och erfarenheter i våra flöden. Mm. Finns på Instagram.
Instagram, halsrevolutionen_podcast heter vi där.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.